Good morning. Today I'm going to present a study I did with Dr. Sensetti and Dr. Francois on tackling TB and multi-drug TB along the Taiwan border. This is a qualitative study based on perspectives of the stakeholders. I'm required by APHA to make this disclosure.
I'm sorry about that.
This study is funded by DFID, UK government. We would like to thank all the participants who participated in this study and stakeholders for their hard work in TB control. Also, we appreciate the Tak Provincial Public Health Office in Thailand and the Department of Health in Kain State of Myanmar for their collaboration in this study. We are grateful to Dr. Terence Smith and Dr. Daniel Parker and Tabitha Sen for their support to this research. To begin with, Thailand and Myanmar ranked in the top 22 high-burden countries of TB. Myanmar faces a more difficult challenge in TB control than Thailand. One reason we focus on TB issue along the Taiwan border is the large number of migrants and refugees in Tak province, Thailand. In 2007, a study conducted in Tak province in Thailand presents the prevalence of diagnosed TB among Thai citizens was 109 per 100,000. Among Myanmar refugees was 340. Among Myanmar migrants was 150. Other study also focusing on TB issue in Tak province show that TB and MDR TB are important public health issue along the Thai-Myanmar border. There are key challenges to controlling TB among migrants: high mobility, language barriers, poor socioeconomic status, lack of health insurance, and fear of arrest, especially among migrants, are the major barrier to access to TB diagnosis and treatment. Stakeholders also face challenges to controlling TB for migrants. High treatment default rate among migrants with TB, insufficient coordination mechanism between healthcare organizations, and resource constraints are the major barriers among stakeholders. In 2015, next year, the ASEAN Economic Community will transform the ASEAN into a big region with free movement of people, goods, skilled labor, and freer flow of capital. The ASEAN Economic Community will be to increase the movement of people across the borders in the ASEAN countries. It implies that TB control could be more complex in the ASEAN country along the border areas. The purpose of this study is to identify challenges to TB control, focusing on the area of collaboration and interaction among organizations on the Thai-Myanmar border. The study was conducted in Tak province in Thailand and Myawade district, Kain State, Myanmar, from November 2013 to July 2014. Our study team used a qualitative study method with in-depth interviews. The study participants include healthcare providers as well as health policy makers at the policy development, dissemination, and service provision level in both countries. The participants were from the Ministry of Public Health, United Nations, Office of Public Health, Public Hospitals, NGOs, community-based organizations. For data analysis, Data transcription was coded and concurrently analyzed using NVivo software. Coding also developed the categories and read key themes. This is a conception framework for stakeholders in TV control along the timeline border. For example, the TV policymaker, such as national TV programs under the ministries of public health in both countries, have a strong stop TV collaboration partnership, which is supported by WHO. The national TV program, they develop a new policies regarding the TV, and they disseminate the new policy to the Office of Public Health at the regional level. Also, the policy, the Office of Public Health also transmits the new policy to TV service provider at the local level. TV service provider include public hospitals and international NGOs. They provide TB diagnosis and treatment to migrant population. TB service providers also they accept suspected TB cases from public health actors such as community-based organizations. In Thailand, 18 participants joined the study. In Myanmar, 13 key informants participate in this study. The study identified 24 major challenges and they were categorized into 7 themes. This figure presents the proportion of challenges stratified by country. In Thailand, about 70% of stakeholders reported insufficient networking and collaboration at the local level. But in Myanmar, only 30% of stakeholders reported the same. By contrast, over 70% of stakeholders in Myanmar reported lack of information on TV services provided as an organization. Also, many informants in Myanmar report. What's
happened? I have no idea.
Sometimes the
with that slide, I would like to continue my presentation. So, many informants in Myanmar expressed a concern about the patient loss to follow-up. Insufficient networking, limited information on TB services provided, TB service provision by other healthcare organizations prevented healthcare providers from engaging in TB control effort in the border areas. One medical coordinator says that we need to move in a practical relationship, like if I want to refer a patient, I have to call this person and fill this form. We have a lot of strategy committee here, but nothing practically. One medical doctor said during the interview.
Thank you.
Healthcare providers also raise a concern about the patient loss to follow-up due to high mobility, incorrect home address of patient, and unstructured information sharing and patient tracking system across the country. In order to trace the patient, some organizations started using an official transfer home, which is writing in English, and the transfer home is developed by National TV Program of Thailand and Myanmar. But some healthcare organizations didn't know the existence of the home. So once the home reached another organization, part of the home was designed to be sent back to transferring organization. Also, the transferring organization used the home, transfer home, TV patient transfer home. They didn't receive their section of the home from the receiving organization. So public health officer working at public hospital states that we don't know whether TB patient gives the home to a hospital or not. We don't receive the response, but maybe TB patient didn't give the referral home. We found the epidemiological trend and the case finding also was a challenge. Healthcare provider expressed a concern about the increasing number of TB treatment defaulter cases and MDR TB cases among non-Thai and especially undocumented migrant workers. Because undocumented migrant patients who seek medical care often receive the intermittent treatment, which could lead to MDR TB. One medical doctor working with NGO says that it is just like an earthquake phenomenon. We can see only the patients who come to our clinic. We can see only few patients. There might be a lot of migrant people who may suffer from TB. We couldn't just get them. So now I will move on to the discussion. Many informants in our study underline the insufficient collaboration among healthcare organizations who are engaged in the diagnosis and the treatment TB. They judge the current referral mechanism as ineffective. During our study period, a cross-border TB control, TB HIV referral task force was organized by relevant agency across the country. The task force was expected to play an important role in improving the current collaboration. Our study also had a similar result with previous research showing that migrant patients face a significant socioeconomic barriers in accessing to TB treatment, TB diagnosis and treatment. In order to address the barrier, Thai government introduced a new health insurance scheme for migrant workers in August 2013. The scheme aimed to provide a universal health care, including a TB services, to all migrants who are not covered by Social Security scheme. The scheme could contribute to mitigating barriers to health care access among migrant patients. Many informants in our study expressed broad willingness to work together to improve binational collaborative mechanism. This is crucial if there is to be a reduction in the incidence of TB cases. Thank you for listening to my presentation. Do you have any question? Oh, it's okay.
Oh, that's great. So I'd love to be able to talk to you after.
Thank you. Do you have any question? Yes.
Yes. For the major issues. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what those requirements are?
patient cannot continue treatment is their socioeconomic, poor socioeconomic status. They want to continue, but they cannot, they have to support their families. They cannot leave their job. So, also that there are a lot of cross-border migrants, casual cross-border migrants. So they are back and forth between Thailand and Myanmar. So they don't have an exact facility they could receive the treatment. That's why the intermediate treatment and which lead to MDR-TB. Yes? Main health, main service providers are public hospital in Thailand, Thai public hospital. But NGO also, they play an important role in service provision. So NGO has, one big NGO, they are running a TB village. They accept many undocumented TB patients, and they provide a free medication, also free food, and also accommodation to families, so they can stay at their at the TB village. But because of the number of patients is increasing, so it's very tough to sustain the program in the TB village. Actually, this my home organization is running the TB project in the TB village.
Any more questions?
Thank you for coming.
So, before calling up the last speaker, I just wanted to announce that there, Chitilayo Kaur, which is the chair of the Caucus of Refugee and Immigrant Health, is passing a list around so you could put your name and show your interest in participating in the caucus, and also the newsletter of the caucus is being passed around. So please do sign up and leave your information. And now the next presentation is entitled Factors Associated with Breastfeeding Support Among Congolese Immigrants in Texas. And I always get the name wrong, so I'm sorry. Gilusien Wembulua. Dr. Wembulua is a biobehavioral scientist with general areas of expertise in health disparities, global health, and minority health. He has combined these interests to develop a research agenda. This agenda is divided in two broad areas, African immigrant health, substance and substance abuse. He is currently the assistant professor in the Department of Africana Studies at the University of Cincinnati and is the current program chair of the APHA Caucus on Refugee and Immigrant Health. Please welcome Dr. Wembulua.
Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're going to enjoy my talk despite the fact that you're not going to see my beautiful slides. It's kind of sad because I really worked hard on those slides and I really thought that, you know, would be very effective for that. So, we too, I'm going to circulate because that's the way I really like to talk. But, you know, I'd like to apologize to some of you because you will have to turn your head in order to follow me. But really, the title of my presentation is the factor associated with breastfeeding support among communities in the United States. And really, one of the core aspects of the studies is really to look into one of the factors that really encourage individuals to breastfeed. First slide was really about, you know, breastfeeding has really been now isolated and really been recognized despite the controversy that has been switched, you know, between the 70s and the 80s, when there was a lot of focus on formula and really formula, really now that we recognize the best optimal nutritional nutritional aspect that you can actually give to a child. And this is really also involving the fact that we can avoid a lot of, you know, different diseases, one of them being the son of technology as the father of two children. I can also let you know that, you know, it's also one of the most practical aspects also for the feed to young children, but it really has been associated with really avoiding the almost also the positive health outcomes among children as well. So really now the question becomes, you know, coming to the United States now, one of my focus has been will allow us to identify the front end aspect of the sad aspect. So because you will see that you know what the lowest the committees that tend to be the lowest Wesleyan tend to be the African American community. And there are many factors that have been associated with it, which is really becoming an issue that has not been explained in a very well way, and that has not been very well explained in the sense that we do not know the reason why. And yes, there are factors that can be that we all can as soon as you can understand this. There is not a clear explanation of why there's such a low rate of breastfeeding among African Americans in this country. Related to that aspect is another and an important aspect, which is also linked to myself, which is that now we have also a large section of African migrant communities in this country. Meaning that between 2005 and 2012, we have had the rates of immigration to this country coming from African countries that's more than double. And this has been a change in the sense of since the 1965 Act that has actually allowed Africans to move to these countries. We have an excellent article in the New York Times that refers to this when you literally have now large numbers of quote unquote blacks who are that they do not exist. But still, it is a predominant black pattern in this country. There is large numbers of blacks from the slave trade. So really, we have what people would actually refer to the change in the type of
responsible for those individuals to maintain, what is the perception of those fathers, males engaged in those behaviors, about what is the perception of breastfeeding and whatever they encourage. So, what was really fascinating about this aspect is that when we conduct those, different focus groups, what we really came back to is that we found out there was really three teams that really emerged from those focus groups. One of the first teams that really that we emerged was really the team of families norms about to be about the fact of norms. Most of those fathers stated in different ways that for them it was absolutely normal. This is something that they didn't even discuss with their spouse regarding the breastfeeding, and that for them breastfeeding was a natural way that they didn't even think, they didn't even have a discussion with the mates. It was something that was obvious, it was something that they knew that it was going to happen. This is really when we're seeing the context of
most of us refer to, and especially when you're looking at the issue of refugee and immigrant health, a lot of it has been done in criminalizing the old country. Meaning that, if you're coming to a new country, such as the United States, that has, obviously, a high income, that has, all of those facilities, that maybe some of these items that you have had in your home country may not be applicable in this country. What we see here is that, the practice, a cultural practice from the old country in this context here, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, really is beneficial for those fathers and it benefits from those families. Another aspect that really that plays into it, that emerged as a team, was the challenge of maintaining that cultural practice in the United States. Meaning that, a lot of the participants in their studies mentioned that, yes, I always wanted my children to be breastfed. Yes, me and my wife would agree on that, and it was actually something natural. But in the United States, it's something very difficult. It's something that, when we have, my wife had to start to work. And one of the participants you identify is saying, even when you're talking about your wife, for example, like there was a beautiful quote about it, where he stayed in a public place and my child was crying. And I really, I knew that my child needed to be fed, and my wife wanted to breastfeed my children. But the perception, when my wife wanted to start breastfeeding my child, is that we really had, what people would refer to as sterile. People were looking at us that we were strange and all that, and actually, the individual in that position stated, what I need is that sterile back. And you really see, in a sense, that the perception of breastfeeding, or at least where it should be done in the United States, is very different. And the perception, this is really about the challenge that we talked about, that yes, we know about it, but we have had challenges about maintaining that positive health outcome, which is breastfeeding. A third important thing that really emerged from it is also the amount of knowledge that they have had. Most of them, a lot of it of the participants in the study mentioned that, as soon as they knew that their wife or their partner was actually pregnant, that they actually did a lot of research about, breastfeeding or trying to increase the knowledge about some of those topics, and that some of the response that they got really encouraged them to really do even more about, do even more engage into breastfeeding. So where does that lead us? It's really about, the conclusion of that study is really about trying to really understand some of those norms and whether or not we can learn from those cultural norms applying some of those in those African immigrant groups and see whether or not they can translate into prevention programs at large in this country, not only among the African American population, but with the country at large. The next step really that we are looking into is to look into whether we can actually secure a grant to look at the large numbers, and this is really where we can have look into the role that enclaves of immigrant groups in this country played into the concept of breastfeeding, whether or not it increased the level of breastfeeding or whether or not some of those factors that may mitigate the level of breastfeeding. Thank you. And if you have any questions, also feel free now that the mic is actually working.
So you asked men about breastfeeding?
Yes, we did.
You also asked women about breastfeeding?
We did not. We actually focused on the support, and that's what really the aspect of these studies, and that's what we believe is the novel aspect of it, is that we mentioned that, having that support and the background, as we mentioned, whether or not you want to breastfeed in public and so forth, but that the perception and the role that you know those men may play in the partnership may increase the level of breastfeeding in those communities.
Did you also consider asking him? The parents of the women? So I think that that might be a model too. So as a support system, so not just the men, but if one's parents are there, and maybe...
And this is a great idea when we talk about support. Parents might be a fantastic element, but we also have to remember one thing. We are also focusing on immigrants. So we are focusing on immigrant populations. So most of them do not have their parents present in this country. But that might be another way to look at that situation. Yes. Identify and when you talk, what you illustrate very well here is that you know the perception of coming to the United States, which is a lot of us, and actually as a migrant myself, I can identify to it, is that you know there's also the perception that whatever happening in the United States is better. So a lot of those migrants coming to the United States because they see formulas in the stores, because they see the ads, believe that the way to become quote unquote an American is to actually breastfeed feeding. And you will have discussions among those groups where people will say, well, you're in the United States now, you don't need to breastfeed. This is the way, you know, people do here. And you see the perception, and now it becomes even tougher to have, you know, to unlearn those behaviors, to say to those individuals, yes, United States might be, you know, the most successful countries in so many ways, but one of those many aspects in these countries that, you know, that really now people are changing is breastfeeding. Now we're talking about the political aspect of the questions, and because I want to keep my job, I'm going to not talk about that now. But you're right about that in the sense that you still have a push, especially in low-income neighborhoods, where you actually see a push from certain companies to actually push a formula instead of breastfeeding. Thank you. A question, I believe, or somebody wants to talk?
No, on behalf of FEHA and the Cocos and Refugee Immigrant Help, please accept our apologies. We had an electrical malfunction, so all is rule. It was between, you know, power, the power went out. So I really want to commend our presenters for still sticking to it and presenting this about the shortage of electricity that we had. And also thank you guys for staying to listen to all the effort and years of research that they were able to present to you. So please accept our sincere apologies as the breakdown. In addition to that, the Cocos and Refugee and Immigrant Help, although has been part of APHA since 1992, we're still trying to grow our members. And we realize this seems to be an area that many people are now interested in. So there's a list going around, and we want you to put your name. And what we're trying to do is encourage more people to be involved with the caucus, because the more people we have, the more presence we'll get at APHA, because we need to go by numbers of people that are interested in this topic. So we're hoping to grow our members. We're going to be having our meeting today at 6:30, and I believe it's in one of these rooms also. And we also have, in fact, most of our sections will be in this room. So if you want to stay for a follow-up section, we have one that very interesting discussions that people are having about this issue. Now, I have to say this, because when we talk about refugee and immigrant help, many people think about the U.S., and that's why I enjoy the presentation being given. It's not just about the U.S. We're really looking at the health of refugees and immigrants all over the world. And we can tell that that's a fact now with the age of globalization, because people are moving more than ever before in the history of mankind. So if you're interested in being part of us, if you're interested in having your voice heard, please take the time to write down your name. We just launched our website. We're hoping to stay in communication with you. I promise you, we will not bombard your email. I promise you that. Because I get that too, so we will not bombard your email, and I hope and look forward to seeing you at other events that we have. We have some information on the table for follow-up sections that we have, and the ones that we co-sponsor, the information is on the table. And once again, thank you so much for sitting through that. I really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.